I've been thinking about different things, and I'm going to say a couple things, more or less as an introduction. We've been going through what we call a mission conference. And Willie was talking about definitions the other day, and I got to thinking about it. A mission conference. It's a conferring of missions, a conferring of missionaries, bringing together and conferring and exchanging ideas of what we do and how we're doing and the work being done and who does it and different things like that. And as I thought about that, I went through some of the meetings we've had morning and night. And I hope I got, when I say somebody said something, I hope I got it right. But, I had two or three pages listed of things that were said, and I tried to bring some of them back. We learned about different missionary methods. Throwing rocks at houses to get people to come out and hear the gospel. Susan said that, and I thought that was pretty good, you know. Do that here, and somebody will throw you in jail. But we learned about different missionary methods. We learned about stewardship from Don Staffy. From Milton Martin, we heard missions is the purpose of the church. A good point. A point that goes along with what I want to say this morning. Missions are a point of the church. It's the purpose of the church. Dad was talking about simplicity and godly sincerity in our preaching. In our worship, in our walk. Dell and others talked about living by faith and not by feelings. Working by faith and not by feelings. Amen. Doing by faith and not by feelings. Amen. Going by faith and not by feelings. You know, we can't be a missionary, we can't be a Christian, or an effective one, if we let feelings rule our life. Amen. If we work on feelings, if we rejoice on feelings, if we preach on feelings. It needs to be by faith. Several people, I don't know exactly who brought it out, but I know it really got to Willie. He really enjoyed it. The proof of our ministry is not success. The proof of our ministry is trouble. That's what Paul said. In 2 Corinthians, a couple places. The proof of our ministry is not success. The proof of our ministry is trouble. And we want success, and we go for success, and we go for souls saved, and we go for churches started. But when we know we're doing the work of God, there's going to be trouble. Said a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. It's trouble. Amen. But it was a good point. I think it'll help be an encouraging point sometimes when everything's down, especially for people that are going. Willie said we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. If there's ever anything we needed, we need that.
Amen.
Brent talked about balance, and I thought it was a good point he brought out, that the only place where God talks about being unbalanced. He wants you hot or cold. Either he wants you in the fight or out of the fight. I have a saying in the army, lead, follower, get out of the way. Lead, follower, get out of the way. But don't be somewhere in the middle. Don't ride the fence. Brent talked about the power of the gospel. And it is a powerful gospel.
Amen.
And we need to preach it. And we need to trust in the power of the gospel. Willie talked about the witness of our life, our lips, our literature, and our lineage. Dale talked about the potter and the clay. And how important it is to realize that it's all God's work. That the clay is not worth anything. The clay doesn't matter. The clay is effective and effectual and worth something if it becomes what the potter wanted it to be.
Amen.
So we don't need to worry about what God puts us through. We need to be ready to do what He wants us to do. And not worry about the middle. Dale talked about Elijah. And what are you doing here? Where are we going? And why are we where we're at? And what are we going to do next? Talked about Elijah being bold. Being somebody that would ridicule others. And we get very flinchy sometimes when we hear somebody like Billy. And I've heard Billy do it. And others, they get up and they're bold in their ridicule, bold in their scoffing, bold in their scorning of other people. And I don't know that I'll ever be that bold in that way. I'm not that definite of a personality. I'm not that strong in my personality. And yet Billy was, Billy is, and Elijah must have been. John the Baptist, I think, was. I'm pretty sure Jesus was, and some of the other preachers in the Word of God. Just bold. Knew what they believe. You know, I think of of Arlene when I think of a strong personality. She doesn't see things in shade. She thinks things are right or wrong. At least seems that way to me. You know, she got a strong personality, you know, and a good personality. And when she sees something is right, she does it. And when she sees it is wrong, she doesn't do it. And if you show her out of the book that it's right, she'll do it. She'll change. Joey talked about being set for the defense of the gospel.
Amen.
You know, Ken talked about it too. The same light, that some things are worth more than life itself. And Paul said it. He said, I count not my life dear unto myself, that I might finish the ministry to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some things are worth more than life.
Amen.
I took Chris Roberti and Kathy and their kids down to the Alamo, and as I went through it, I'm always reminded every time I go back there that 187 men counted something more dear than life itself.
Yeah.
They didn't count fame because they didn't expect to have much fame. They didn't expect to win. But they counted something more dear than life itself. And all it was a liberty, a physical liberty for 70-odd years, maybe for their children and their children's children. Maybe it'll last 200 years if it lasts that long, and it's only been 150 years. But they counted liberty more dear than life itself. I know we live in a generation that counts very little worth more than life itself.
Yeah,
they
right.
count pleasure worth more than life itself. And that's about the only thing they count. We only got this nation by people who counted liberty and justice and certain things more important than life itself. And we as Christians should value the gospel of Jesus
Amen.
Christ and being a useful vessel to Jesus Christ, worthy of more than life itself, worthy of more than pain, worthy of more than comfort, worthy of more than ambition, worthy of more than career. Certain things ought to be more important than life itself, any part of life. That we give it all up for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then Mike was talking. I'm going to pick on Mike today. He got up here the other night and he started talking. I'm going to pick on Mike because what he said brings to point what I want to say this morning. He was talking about names. And how different people call different things, different groups of people names. And back to Elijah and ridicule and Billy calling the virgin El Diablo, the she-devil. And he talked about calling people that believe in water baptism for salvation water dog. Talked about brothers-in-law. I think about others. I call Jehovah's Witnesses JFWs or Jehovah's False Witnesses. We call different people names, and you get into the battle, and before long you're going to think of certain people a certain way. You're going to classify them. And it just comes natural. But as he was talking about names and what people call each other and what we are called, he said of himself that he wasn't worthy to be called a missionary or to have the title of a missionary. I think I said that the way he said it. And it's a good point. And I've known Mike for, I guess, 2 years now. Really known him. I've met him before, but I've really known him for 2 years. I've known him in pride, and I've known him in humility. I knew him in pride on a job when I worked with him. And he was the best at his job, and wasn't ashamed to tell everybody there he was. And, you know, I really wouldn't have wanted to work for him, and I would not have enjoyed working for him as much as I did if he hadn't had that pride. That self-confidence to get out and get the job done. To do something. To get up and go. And I enjoyed working with you, Mike. I learned a lot. And he was proud. He was proud of the work he did. He was proud of the men that worked with him and got a good job done. And wasn't ashamed to say so. But I've seen him humble, too. He was humble enough to come back here and say that he was going back to be a missionary again. He wasn't going back to be the missionary that's going to win all of Mexico. But he's going to go back and do his best to be a helper for those who were there.
Amen.
And the point is this. He said he's not worthy to bear the title of a missionary, but what is a missionary? And that's what I'd like to talk on this morning. What is a missionary? I looked it up in the dictionary the other day, and there's about four or five definitions, and the first two said it was somebody from a religious order going to do some religious purpose, basically. To me, that's not a missionary. I'm sorry. I look at the basic English word missionary, and that's not what I see. And I don't claim to be a great man in the English language, but I do think I know a good bit about it. And when I look at the word missionary, I see a man with a mission. And I think that's the definition of missionary. A man with a mission. And in that light, every one of us in this room that's saved and born again this morning should be a missionary.
That's right.
We've come together and we've got eight families that are out from this church in Mexico working as missionaries there. And we call them missionaries. But what we need to remember and realize is they are not just the only missionaries. That everyone in this room should be a missionary.
Amen.
If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm talking to saved believers this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should be a missionary. Now, not everybody can go to Mexico or Africa or Europe or Asia or Australia or wherever else somebody else might go. But a missionary is someone with a mission. And God has given us a mission. God has given us what we call the Great Commission. And you know what the word commission means? We've got a commissioned officer in here. You know what the word commission means? It means to give somebody the authority to do the mission you've given them to do. We've got what we call the Great Commission. And I don't think commission or missionaries in the Bible. I couldn't find them. But that's what we call them. We have been given the authority to do the mission, to do the work of a missionary. And every born-again believer ought to be a missionary.
Amen.
Look at Matthew chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. And we'll look at Mark and we'll look at Luke. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. It says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." We have a mission conference because we have a great commission to spread the gospel and to share the gospel throughout all the whole entire world. All the world needs to hear it. And if all the world hears it and some believe and some come and accept and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they'll be saved and go to heaven. And that's our commission. Their repentance and remission of sin should be preached in Jesus' name among all nations.
Amen.
That's what a missionary does. Some of us have the opportunity and have the call and are told to go someplace else besides our native country, besides our native home, besides where we live at and where we were born and where we grew up at, to go there and share the gospel. But that doesn't excuse anybody from being a missionary. You can't sit back in your chair in church and say, "I'm not called to be a missionary." I want you to know you're called to be a missionary this morning.
Amen.
And as I was thinking about that, I got to thinking, you know, we're a mission-minded church. And we are. We have eight missionary families on the field in Mexico, supported almost exclusively by this church. And I went down and went through the list of people I know in this church. And I can find double to triple and maybe four times as many missionaries in this church right now as there are outside of this church, from this church. And that's the way it ought to be, at least. There are people down on the street corners preaching the gospel just like we're preaching it in Lagos de Moreno and San Luis Potosí and León, Guanajuato. There are people preaching in the courts telling people about Jesus Christ in two different languages. They're down there preaching it. There are people knocking on doors and people come in and they come here and they visit and people go knock on their door and tell them, we saw you in church the other day. Would you like to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
They're people witnessing to their neighbors and going to their neighbors and saying, Jesus Christ died to save you from your sin. You need to accept Him.
Amen.
Won't you believe on Jesus Christ? Some of them get ridiculed. Some of them get scorned. Some of them get scoffed. But they're still out giving the gospel. What's a missionary? A missionary is somebody with a mission of going and giving the gospel to somebody that needs it. That's a missionary. That's a missionary. Think about what Mike said. He said it wasn't worthy to be called a missionary. I think even more importantly, or part of it, being a missionary, every child of God has been given the mission and the authority to do the mission, but not every child of God does it. So let me qualify the definition of a missionary as we talk about it in this mission conference. A missionary is a man with a mission that has the priority of doing that mission. He has that as a priority. I mean, that's more important than life itself.
Amen.
Remember one time Mike got up in an open meeting while he was still here, and he mentioned a witness that had happened on the job, and he mentioned me having shared with him different scriptures of the Bible. You know, he started that witness. I didn't start it. Mike did. He had a priority with his own employee of sharing the gospel with that man. That's a missionary. Somebody has the priority of sharing the gospel with whomever. With whomever. It doesn't matter if you're here in San Antonio. It doesn't matter if you're a housewife stuck in the house all day long. And all the people you ever see are your neighbors. The only people you ever see is the clerk at the grocery store and the bag boy that carries out your groceries. It doesn't matter if you're locked in and your husband don't ever tell you can never go to church and you can never do anything else. You can be a missionary.
Amen.
There are people you see and you know that nobody else will ever know.
Right.
And although your husband may not even let you talk to him, you can still pray for him. Praying is being a part of a missionary. People that can't do anything else, they can pray. They have a priority for missions. They have a priority for getting people saved. They have a priority for seeing people come to Jesus Christ. And they pray for somebody to reach them. They pray for their souls.
Amen.
They pray for missionaries on the field that they might have power with men and power with God.
Amen.
That they can reach souls. They have a priority of seeing people get saved. That's a missionary.
Amen.
I call myself a missionary. And I am one. But I was a missionary a long time before I ever got to San Antonio, Texas, got to Lagos de Moreno. There was a time when I was a Christian and I wasn't a missionary. There was a time when I lived and I knew what a Christian life was supposed to be about. And I knew I was supposed to be a missionary. And I knew that if I lived for God, I was going to have to give up much of my life or all of my life to share the gospel with other people. One day God got a hold of my heart and He said, "Now, Eddie. Seems to me I used to have this idea in my head that somebody who's really going to serve God has to do it in a full-time service somewhere, in being paid by a church off on a foreign field, or being paid full-time by a church to do a job as a pastor or a minister or something. They call it that's full-time service." Excuse me. But full-time service is committing your life so completely that your life is not counted dear unto yourself, that you might share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
With anybody you need to share it with anybody you come in contact with the people you have the opportunity to meet.
Amen.
So I started changing my life. By the grace of God, He allowed me to become a sharer of the gospel with other people. And He allowed me to come to the point where my priorities were different.
Amen.
Amen.
Where when I went from one place to another and they asked me, "So, what are your priorities in life? What are your goals?" My goal is to serve Jesus Christ. I wrote a Sergeant Major of the 3rd Armored Division, United States Army, and that's what I told him. When he asked me what I wanted to do in the Army, I said, "Sir," I said, "my temporary goals are to be the best soldier I know how to be. And my long-range goals are to serve Jesus Christ." That changes lives.
Amen.
Priorities change lives.
Amen.
The message this morning is that God wants you to be a missionary. And some of you are missionaries and maybe haven't thought about it that way yet. But some of you aren't missionaries and you need to be.
Amen.
We go through our lives and we live them and we go to work and we go home and we pay the bills and we take care of kids and we take care of family problems and we take care of, all different kinds of problems in this life, and we get our minds turned away from the things that are priorities. We get our minds turned away from the things that are important. We get our minds turned away from the things that we've committed our lives to and the things that we hold dear, and we forget that the priority is to serve Jesus Christ and let others know of His glory.
Amen.
It's easier for a missionary on the field. That's his job. But you don't think he doesn't have problems? He's got plenty of problems to turn his mind away from it too. He's got plenty of them. And he goes out day after day after day. You think you get tired of talking to people at work? We get tired of talking to people who don't have anything to do with us. We get tired of talking to people that close their windows because they don't want to hear us. We get tired of talking to people, we can see them inside the room and they won't answer the door when we come by to give them a gospel tract. There are problems on both sides of the fence, but a missionary has the priority of going and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We've had something committed to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 17. I talked about commission. Commission is being given the authority to do the mission you've been given to do. Verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Amen.
For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed
Amen.
Unto us the word of reconciliation.
Amen.
You see, my brother, you can't say this morning, I'm not called to be a missionary. We were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And to us has been committed the word of reconciliation.
Yes.
You have a priority that you're supposed to live by. Go back and ask the Christians in the first century. What was their priority? If they took Jesus Christ and put Him first, death was almost sure. Or at least the threat of death. And they died by the hundreds. And yet they kept telling the gospel of Jesus Christ over and over and over and over again. Their priority was Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Their priority was tell somebody else about Jesus.
Amen.
Their priority was Jesus Christ and live for Him. Their priority was I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. That cost me my life. Well, it cost me my kids' lives. Though it cost me my kids' education, though it cost me my kids' financial values and the great things that I'd like to give them for my kids, something is worth more importance. Something has more value than life itself, my brother. Jesus Christ does.
Amen.
Jesus Christ does. If we lived under a physical kingdom and were honestly patriots of a good physical king, we would all be willing to lay down our lives for that king. You may think I'm kidding, but you go back and check history out. The most men, probably 99% of most men throughout the world, have been loyal to their king, and many of them have died for him. Even the bad ones. And yet we serve a perfect king.
We serve the good King. We serve a godly King. We serve a King that died to save us from our sins, who's given us everything and given us an inheritance with Him in life, given us an inheritance that we're going to reign with Him throughout all the endless ages of eternity. And He says, go! And we sit. He says, share! And we shut up our mouths. We count our lives too dear sometimes. We count our lives too dear. There is something worth more than life itself. I gave up a house and not a whole lot more. I really don't count that I gave up much. And maybe to other people it looks like a lot, but it really wasn't a lot. Because before I ever bought the house, I'd given it up. Because a year earlier, I'd given up a career in the Army. And that really wasn't a sacrifice. Because you see, a year and a half before that, I decided, no matter what God wants out of my life, I'm going to follow Him.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter. Sure, I gave up a career. I gave up a house. I gave up some other things. But they weren't worth anything anymore.
Amen.
They didn't have the value they once had.
Amen.
What value? What value is 30 years in the Army and a good retirement if my life's a waste for Jesus Christ? What value a house and a good car and a good education and a good job for my kids and a good home and family for my kids if I go to heaven and I'm the worst of all the people there? If I have no reward and no souls to take up there with me. You talk about fame. I'll tell you what fame is. Fame is when you get on the glory side. And fame is when you get to heaven. And Jesus asks some Hottentot over there. He says, who told you about the gospel? And he looks over and he says, that man right there told me about the gospel. That man right there told me about the gospel. And he told me this church up here, they sent money so he could go and tell me about the gospel. You want no fame. Get somebody to know and point you out through all eternity that he told me about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Fame? Was it Theodore Tilton said, fame is but a slow decay? I love fame is going to last throughout all eternity. Unless somebody say, Eddie Kincaid was faithful. He came and told me Jesus Christ died for me. He came and told me somebody paid for all my sins on the cross of Calvary. He came and told me that there was eternal life in Jesus Christ. If I believe and call on Him, repent of my sins, repent of my religion, repent of my old sacrifices, repent of my old ways, and follow Jesus Christ, there was life. Brother, that's fame. If it's just one person. If it's just one person, that's fame for all eternity. And that will never decay. Never, never, never. A missionary shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. A missionary has the priority of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. A missionary goes because he's been commanded to go, and he doesn't count his life dear unto himself. He doesn't count on his feelings. He doesn't rely on how he feels. He doesn't rely on the circumstances around him. He relies on the mission. He relies on the command. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a lot of people. There are a lot of people who cannot physically get up and leave home. But they can pray. And of all the things, prayer is by far, probably by far the most valuable. If there's ever anything that'll sustain a man, is somebody praying for him.
Amen.
If there's anything that'll sustain the men here in town and your elders and the pastors in this church, is praying for him. There's not a...
It went all the base.
And if there's a husband that can stop his wife from praying, she didn't have to do it out loud, but she can pray. We can all pray. We can give $1, $2, $100,
$500, whatever it is, I don't know. But what we have, we can give.
You know, that's one thing wrong about this prosperity gospel preaching. All the way through the Old Testament and all the way through the New Testament, God talks about sacrifices, and they come along and preach, give and you're going to get it right back. That's an investment. That's not a sacrifice.
Amen.
You want to give to God, sacrifice it.
Amen.
Give it up.
Amen.
And brethren, honestly, if you give up taking your wife out to dinner, that may not be much of a sacrifice, but it is a sacrifice. Don't feel guilty because you're not giving the billions. Give what God wants you to give. Give it faithfully. Give it joyfully.
Amen.
Give it because God wants you to give it.
Amen.
And then when the person you gave it to shows up in glory with those souls, the harvest, and he says, Lord, this is what I have. And these are the people that helped me. It's both harvest. It's just as much your harvest as it is his. Just as much the prayer's harvest as it is the one who went. It's just as much the people who stayed behind and stayed by the stuff. When David came back from battle, they asked, how much are we going to give to the people that stayed by the stuff? He said, just split it equally.
Amen.
They were just as important. They guarded the stuff behind. They held the camp. People back there praying. You know, the United States Army, and having been a part of that army, I still think it's the best army in the world. But over half of its entire operation is in logistics, in supplying the man that goes to the front. There's got to be somebody behind.
Amen.
During a mission conference, I know because I've sat in a lot of them. During a mission conference, those of you that stay here in church, those of you that stay here and hold the fort, those of you keep the home ground and the home fires burning, it's 10 times harder to stay in that chair and say, I got to stay here. I always wanted to jump up and say, I'll go. But God wants some people to stay too. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to go. Because I don't know what God wants from your life. God wants you in Africa, get up and go. If God wants you in Mexico, then get up and go. If he wants you over in Arizona, then get up and go. Or Korea, or wherever it is, then you get up and go. But don't go until God tells you and you know for sure that's where God wants you. But don't feel guilty either because you're not up and going, because you're not up and going to a foreign land. You're just as much a missionary and even all the way a missionary, a full time, all the way, fully dedicated, 24 hour servant of the Lord Jesus Christ right here at home.
Amen. Amen.
A missionary is not somebody who always is over there. A missionary has the priority of carrying the mission and the message of Jesus Christ to those who need to hear it. And brethren, we need to be missionaries.
Amen.